Sandy tried to get out of going first.
Okay, well, we're coming down to the final stretch here, and I have to tell everybody ahead of time that our plane connections are such that when we finish, we have to go out the door and get in the car. And so, oh, that's okay. I'm just thirsty. So I know we'd like to say goodbye to everybody and sit around and talk and all that, but it won't be possible. I saw the security line at Philadelphia Airport coming in. I watched the people. I just went, oh, my God. So thanks for understanding that we can't just stay here and go on and on. Okay. I just want to get one important thing in. I'm old. And AA has been a marvelous gift from God. And it has succeeded, and it's really big. And its success, its continued success, depends upon people younger than me. It depends upon you. And Bob described the society that we live in perfectly. It's not the same as the one that I came out of and that was around when AA was started. So that means the ideas of today's society are being carried in here by the new alcoholics. It's not their fault. They have to come in with that. And those type of ideas can be very weakening and threatening to a very strong spiritual program. It can, little bit, dilute it. And so it's important that you watch for this. And you're going, what the hell's that guy talking about? Well, we travel all around the country, and we see meetings accommodating newcomers by changing AA to adjust to them. Let's get rid of the prayer. It bothers me. It bothers me if we talk too much about God. My feelings are hurt if we do this. And groups are actually giving in. Apparently trying to be nice. And we can't be nice to a new alcoholic or we'll kill him. There's no nice way to smash an ego. There's no, do you follow what I'm saying? You can't give in to your urge to be perfectly polite to everyone and hurt no one's feelings, or the whole thing will collapse. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but there's a lot of stuff that's already happened. And you are the people that are going to preserve AA the way it is and the way it's always been and the way we talked about it. This is the gift. And you don't want 20 years from now to be talking to each other and saying, it's pretty good, isn't it? That would be a total failure. People walking around with 20 years of pretty good sobriety would mean that AA failed. That's from my point of view. That's not what we want to preserve. We want to preserve going for the jackpot like we're all talked about here. So we never want to allow that to happen. And so it's up to you guys and gals, if you see it, to say something about it. You have to speak up and just say, no, we're not changing just to accommodate you, whoever that is. And some of these voices are loud and they're powerful and they're used to having their way, etc. And a lot of us are shy and we're more of go-along people. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it'd probably be all right and so on down. Do you have anything along those lines while we're on the same subject?
The only word I would use differently when he said preserve AA the way it was, preserve the essence of AA the way it was. The accidental characteristics, the age and the character and the type of meetings and other sorts of things will change. And we will reflect society. But the core and the essence, the treasure that is in the 12 steps of the recovery program and the solidness of the program, the 12-step work of the program, if we maintain that, no one can do what we do. There is no replacement. There will never be a hospital or a trained professional that can do what we do. They can help us do what we do, but they can't do what we do. If we don't keep doing it, it is not going to be done. And that's not only a great responsibility, not trying to be overly dramatic, it's also a gift. And in the expression of that gift, in doing that, I mean, it is magic to be able to touch another person. They give awards for firemen and policemen that would save another person's life. Well, there are people in this audience that have saved five people's lives or 10 people's lives. The number could get pretty high with certain people, you know. But all of us would probably have the opportunity to save one. I mean, if we just replaced ourselves, AA would be so. Just replaced ourselves. Just each of us got one. We could double the participation in Alcoholics Anonymous. And wouldn't that be something?
Okay, that's the commercial. And it's my pet commercial. This occupies a lot of my thinking because I'm so in love with the spiritual essence of AA, and to see it altered in any way is just very sad to me. And okay, let's change the topic. When we talk about the 12th step, we talk about 12-step work, and we talk about practice of principles in all our affairs, and we can talk about that and go on and on, you know, and how to sponsor somebody and how to do this and how to do that. But the essence of it is having had a spiritual awakening as the only result of the 12 steps, then all this happens. When Bill Wilson had his spiritual experience in Towns Hospital, I call that the Big Bang of Alcoholics Anonymous. In that instant, AA was born. Because in that instant, Bill's obsession with alcohol was permanently taken away. And inside of him was an irresistible force to make sure other alcoholics had this same spiritual awakening. And that force never subsided. Bob talked about living in 50 different homes. I mean, without that awakening, he would have quit. Anybody would have quit. Oh, you know, I'm bringing guys in my house, they're wrecking it, nobody's sober. You would have gotten discouraged. My point is the spiritual awakening, this connection with your personal higher power is what's being passed on. And if it's less than that, it's going to run out. You're going to just, oh, well, that's enough working with people. Because you're not transmitting your own energy. You're transmitting the energy of the universe flowing through you. So this awakening, and so Bill, because of that, he just saw Dr. Bob, and then it happened there, and we all know how it just kept going. And as Bill's energy from this awakening, he just came up with all these ideas about how AA should be. We need a lot of money, and we need paid mercenaries or mercenaries.
I am a mercenary. We need missionaries.
We need mercenaries to go out and kill all the bartenders. Yeah. And God was watching all of this, and he just put roadblocks wherever Bill came up with a bad idea, and it wouldn't happen. And they'd have to stop. How are we going to get this thing? And they eventually got the book written. And the whole idea of writing the book was to get money, because money was, I mean, you know, that was the answer. You're coming from the material world. You want to spread this out to people. You need money. It's just, there it is. And it turns out, no, you don't. God will take care of having this message passed. It will be done. And Jack Alexander writes an article. He came to find out what the fraud was that was going on. This new organization is out there allegedly helping other alcoholics out of the goodness of their heart. Ho, ho. And he comes to investigate us and falls in love with us.
And 8,000 people later.
Yep. And starts writing about us. And so we try, you know, the program really is trying to get us in the now so that we stay here. And there's two ways of thinking about Bill Wilson's, what I call the Big Bang of Alcoholics Anonymous. You could say that it happened 76 years ago, or you could say it's still happening. That energy, that explosion, that moment of creation of Alcoholics Anonymous is still happening. And it's just now reached you. And it's flowing through you, and it's going to flow through somebody, and it just goes on and on and on. So it is a never-ending moment. Now, it's more fun to live in a never-ending moment. Don't you think it's more exciting than to think that it happened 76 years ago on some linear scale? And so there's ways of staying in the moment and experiencing it. You have to abandon your plans. You know what I mean? You can't be focused on your plans if you're going to be in the moment. And so if you're in a restaurant and you're meeting someone there and you're sitting in the booth and you're waiting, you could just look over at the salt shaker and pick it up and go, I wonder how they make these. What do? They have a glass place, and then they must have a place that makes this top, and that gets screwed on there. This is really quite a creation, isn't it? And then you can just sit down, and then my favorite thing to look at are straws. You know, I never drink a cold drink in a restaurant without a straw. I always want a straw. I don't like picking it up. I like a straw. And you look at a straw, you know, and I get excited when I get a straw. You remember drinking, sharing a soda with your girlfriend, and you got two straws, and you looking at each other, and you know, so straws have always been really cool. But sometimes they make it so it's hard to rip the damn paper off. Have you ever had that where it just doesn't cooperate and you start damaging the straw as you're trying to get the thing out of there? And whenever I'm doing that, I look at it and I go, I'm so glad this is not the last straw. How sad. How sad that would be if you couldn't get another straw if you went to the
You are old.
I'm having fun. You can't interrupt me. And the waitress said, I'm sorry, that's it. They're not making them anymore. You're going to have to drink out of the glass. I think it would be really sad. Now, other people are sitting at the booth, oblivious to the salt shaker, the napkin, the straw, any of that stuff. And they're productively worrying about a deal that is supposed to happen. Now, so who do you think is having more fun out of life? And who knows, because we're plugged in here, that the deal's going to turn out the same, whether you mess around with the salt shaker and the straw or whether you sit there and worry about it. The result is going to be the same. So it's more fun to think that Bill Wilson's spiritual awakening is still happening than it is to think about it, that it had happened, it's over, 76 years ago. If it's still happening, we're part of it. We're part of God's gift to the drunks in the world who he saw were never going to make it. You look at the history going back to when man first crushed grapes, I think is the line that Bill used, and looks at it was going nowhere. There was never an answer that was satisfactory, and then people were locked up, and it was just awful. And then the Big Bang occurred, and look at, you were all part of it. So then, when we see things in this world of the spirit, you see it differently, and it's more fun. Do you see what I'm saying? It's more fun to look through those glasses than the it happened 76 years ago glasses. And that's what I think practicing these principles in all our affairs is. We have to put on the right glasses. We have to have on the spiritual awakening glasses to, and then you will find yourself giving advice to a newcomer. You don't know how you thought that up. You have no idea how those words came, and they were perfect. And you saw her face or his face light up, and you go, yeah, oh, ooh. And they're attracted to that. That's what I think of when I think of the 12th step. It has to be ignited by the transformation so that all the other parts really work. You can't just on your own practice these principles in all your affairs. Okay, I'm going to go out and be in harmony with everyone today. I'm going to be nice. And what happens? The second person pisses you off and you're a pain in the butt for the rest of the day. Why? Because you're trying to do it with your energy, your perspective, our self-centeredness. So practicing the principles in all my affairs means I need to not be self-centered. See the difference? Then you get all kinds of different results. You don't learn it, you just experience it. So we always focus on our spiritual condition before we go out the door so that we have the awakened person interacting throughout the day. And when we lose it, which will happen, I mean, there's all kinds of ways of getting it back. You know, the little card that the AA prints with the serenity prayer and the steps and the traditions and stuff like that. And you take it's almost like you remember at work when you'd sneak a drink? Oh, you didn't do that? Oh, well. I had it in my flight suit. No, only kidding. So you sneak a spiritual fix. You get that little card out and look at it and just think about something and read the preamble or read the 12 steps or something, you know, and just go, oh, yeah, oh, cool. And so to me, that's what practicing the principles are, is bringing spirituality in so that God is part of your ability to practice the principles. So that would be just a little different way of thinking about the 12th step. Now we're going to hear how the Dalai Lama would work the 12 steps.
Resentments are a terrible thing. Interesting, Sandy talks about big bangs. The big bang was 14 or 15 billion years ago. The second big bang that affected us, for allowed us to be here, was the supernova that collapsed in our... Do you know what the most common element in the universe is? Hydrogen. Do you know how much of the universe it comprises? 90%. You know what the second most populous element is? Helium. Do you know what it comprises? 10%. How is that possible? The rest of it is rounding errors. There are so little other elements in the universe. So stars, with their nuclear furnaces, fuse elements until they get the iron. And then they start to get too heavy, and over a period of time, once it starts, they start to die. And eventually they collapse on themselves. And in that collapse, in the explosion of the supernova, it creates all the heavier elements that comprise our bodies, that comprise Earth, that comprise everything that we are. So 5 billion years ago, we had a supernova explosion in our little quarter of our galaxy to create the solar system. And if we were 5% closer to the sun, we'd fry, and we were 5% further away, we'd freeze. And we happen to be the little blue planet that's just exactly in the right phase, and over 4 billion years. Then about a million years ago, we started to get the path. And 65 million years ago, we had the third Big Bang. A comet hit the world and down in the Yucatan and killed all the dinosaurs. Reptiles were the dominant species in the world, and that allowed for mammals to start to emerge as the species that was going to, we certainly don't dominate in numbers, bacteria dominate in numbers, but we ended up being the only species that could have the conversation that we're having in the room today. The only species which we say is made in the image and likeness of God. Not to mention the fact that many of us have complaints about our parents, but we needed those two people to reproduce at exactly that moment, or we'd be our sister or brother. It was only at exactly that moment that only those two people for us to be here. I mean, if that was the only thing for us to be here, couldn't be anybody else. Couldn't be, I'd like to have a nicer dad. Wouldn't be you. Might be the jerk next to you. You know, might have eight toes. Who knows? But you don't. If it wasn't your dad and your mother getting together at that exact moment, they could have got together a day later. Wouldn't have been you. So there's 6 quadrillion cells in your body. It's a very big number. Millions. We sometimes don't think we're successful. We're the most successful. There are millions of tests and processes going on and systems in your body working perfectly, but automatically, that we take it for granted. And we have more identity, you know, with our car than we do with the magnificence of what it is just to be human. Not to be rich, not to be poor, not to be blonde, not to be tall, short, whatever the hell it is. Just to be human is extraordinary. And then we were given the gene of alcoholism. And when we took the drink, that happened to us. We started that decline, that wonderful. And then we had, then there was the Big Bang in 1934 that was to collide with us sometime in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or in this millennium, new millennium, and from between 2000 and 2011. And all those things had to come together. If any of them didn't happen, we wouldn't be here. And they came together to give us the opportunity to be having a discussion about our higher power. That process is a process of coming home. It is not a process of going someplace. Find the page. No. Trying to become a good or better human being sounds like a commendable but not ultimately successful unless there is a shift in consciousness. So if we want something to be different, if I had a magic wand, and I said, I could remove every problem that anybody has in this room in this moment, go poof, on the condition that we come together in 10 years, everybody in this room, you know what? We would have recreated almost every problem we have in this room today if there was no change in consciousness. The thing that gives us change, when Sandy talked about the problem does not exist for us, the problem has been removed. We are not resisting. We are not fighting it. It's just the way it is for us as long as we maintain our spiritual condition. It's contingent upon this, the maintenance of our spiritual condition. If we don't change our consciousness, we will not change. We will keep doing the same things we've been doing. We're destined to it. That this month isn't a hell of a lot different than this month was a year ago. There has to be a shift in consciousness. And each of us in this conversation and in other conversations have a sense that there is a spark of the divine within us. There's just no question about it. We've all had these moments. We've had them in AA meetings. We've had them this weekend. There is something inside of us that is so far beyond any little chicken crap issue that we have in our lives that it doesn't even matter. And yet we will go back and start, you know, talking about ourselves in terms of our possessions and physicality and other sorts of things. Ultimately, there will be no success unless there's a shift in consciousness. This has become the still part of the same... This is because it is still part of our ego dysfunction, a more subtle and rarefied form of self-enhancement, the desire to be more, to strengthen one's conceptual identity of oneself. You do not become good by trying to be good, but by finding the goodness that is already within you and allowing that goodness to emerge. It can only emerge as something fundamental changes in your state of consciousness. So most of us are going outward. We're into doing things that is going to bring us the peace and change in consciousness that we want. It is an alteration in being, not doing. It is a journey inward, not outward. It is a journey home, not away. It is becoming ourselves and who we have always been, not someone else. And that's so accomplishable. There is nothing missing. It is already there. We're just trying to contact the essence in ourselves that is already present, the goodness, the happiness, the peace, the God. There is a spot inside of us that when we contact that spot, we and God are one. And each of us have had moments in that space. And this program, when the program talks about a spiritual awakening, I was reading a book on the airplane on the way down called Essential Spirituality. One thing about reading about spiritual things is it is universal. We do not have to just read things that are alcoholic. It is like I went to Mass this morning, and there was something about, they had a thing on addiction. I was reading it, and they want you to go to a Christian counselor. You don't need a Christian counselor when you have diarrhea. You don't need a Christian doctor when you have diarrhea. You do not need a Christian counselor when you're an alcoholic. You need someone who understands the dynamics of those things. It may give you more comfort to have a Christian doctor or a Christian or a Islamic, you know, whatever. But what we're looking for is a change in consciousness. That is brought about, I believe, by the spiritual practice that we've been given, which is not horribly different than the spiritual practices that other traditions have. But this is our tradition. I don't know where you could go to find the combination of profoundly strong spirituality with profoundly strong common sense with a BS monitor that is second to none. That is in a community in which you can get together 1 to 10 times a week and sit with each other and talk about how we are practicing these principles in the ongoing business of our lives. And it is about the ongoing business of our lives, not just what we do in these rooms. It is about our marriages, it is about our parenting, it is about our children, it is about our jobs, it's about our souls. It's about our hearts. It's about our relationship with the God of our understanding. That's all it's about. And that's why we feel so touched, so healed, so peaceful, so quiet, so okay in this conversation. Because it's who we are. Eventually, we have to stop paying attention to the false self. The journey is to abandon, to some extent, the identity that we have been constructing. You spend 30 years constructing that identity and the rest of your life getting rid of it. It is your spacesuit. It is not the essence. You are not the car. You are the driver. And all drivers are the same. And it's all okay. To be made in the image and likeness of God, to be able to have that consciousness when we are in situations. Sandy has said this so wonderfully in about 10 different ways, but what's driving us nuts, this angst, this God aloneness, this desire to connect to who we really are. It isn't connecting to God like outside, like an uncle we haven't seen. It's connecting with ourselves, with the essence. My spiritual advisor said, everything you are is God. And I looked at him kind of funny. He said, you are not everything God is. But just like I took a cell out of your hand, everything in that cell would be Bob Bazan's. That cell isn't everything Bob Bazan's is. But everything you are is God. It is like, so when I am in that place, I am connected with the essence of who I am. Not the accident of having this body or this car or this house or this spouse or these kids or this education or this lack of education, whatever it is. And we have been forced to the process. I mean, think of the people in our lives that we know that are troubled and not well and unhappy that don't have this process. Or they have access to the process and don't want it. We have to have it. Both by the angst that Sandy talked about, the thirst for that connection. And lastly, 12-step work. I want to quickly say that you go to these conferences and you hear a lot of people talk. An awful lot of people who talk in Alcoholics Anonymous were not the models. We're examples, but we're not the models. Some of the people you hear talk sponsor 50 people. And you think, oh my God, I don't sponsor any, or I sponsor one. I don't think everybody's meant to sponsor 50 people. I go to 15 meetings a week. Get a life. You know, I mean, some of the young people should not be going to 10 meetings a week. They should be going to 4 meetings a week and going to school. I mean, this is not all there is. It is not meant to be your whole life within Alcoholics Anonymous. It is to return us to life, is what we used to talk about, but now it's become so big, you can date in AA, you can find your dad in AA, we are literally a society. Where in the 60s, I mean, in Washington, they went to a hell of a lot of meetings, but many of the people I know went to one meeting a week. They did a lot of 12-step work, but they didn't go to a meeting every night. Sometimes there wasn't a meeting every night. So it's to return us to life and the fullness of life. And it is a great answer. And it is to practice these principles in all our affairs, not just our affairs in the program. It is to give us the full measure, to be better and more loving in every arena of our life. And the good news is it works. I mean, it is a total answer. It's not abstinence. Think about it. I mean, if it was just abstinence, how shortchanged. Two more minutes, and I'm going to give it to Sandy. I'm going to tell the fire story. I haven't told this in a long time. And there was a million years ago, there was a man, or 50,000 years ago, there was a man who invented the use of fire. And he went around the limited world giving people the gift of fire. And they learned how to heat their caves and cook their foods and warm themselves by that fire. And when they went to thank the man, they couldn't find him. He just left. He just wanted to give him the gift. And one time the man came to a large village of people, and he gave them the gift of fire. And the people who were in charge of the village were upset with the man because he was getting too much attention, so they killed him. But they were smart enough to know that the people in the village would be upset if they knew only that fact. So they built a church in honor of the man who brought fire. They built an altar, and on that altar they put the tools that the man used to help people make fire. And they held regular ceremonies to honor the man who brought fire. But no one ever again made fire. There are some AA groups you can walk into, and you couldn't start a fire if you threw a bucket of gasoline and a match in it. But we are all in this room because at some point in time, someone lit our pilot light. And life has never been the same. They lit our pilot light. And over a period of time, the people in the rooms have helped us learn how to turn the gas on.
Thanks, buddy. Wasn't that beautiful? When I sponsor someone, he agrees to come to my house at a particular time for an hour once a week. And then he just does whatever I lay out as a plan. And on the first meeting, we establish this, and we establish this mutual agreement. And then I make him an absolute commitment promise that he will have a spiritual awakening. I tell him, I'm guaranteeing it. And we never miss. Never miss. It is the point of the whole thing, so we might as well talk about it up front. So that they don't think, well, maybe I'm just going to get sober. Maybe I'm going to get my wife off my back. Maybe I'm going to get that. That's not the name of the game. So I like just spelling it out. I guarantee. Now, they have to keep showing up, you know, and follow through on the actions. And sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. So it always here. It's too powerful. Do you follow what I'm saying? It would be like saying, gee, I was thinking of giving this guy 20 drinks, but it might not affect him. That would be a stupid statement because we know the power of alcohol. We know he's going to get drunk. So this, we're talking about unlimited power here, so that's not an exaggerated promise. I love that Bob was talking about the universe, and I like to read about it, and I'm fascinated by it. And this is why, and this is, what I'm going to say is a very humble statement. If you understand humility. If you would ask me why I think God created the universe, my answer would be so that I could look at it. That would be my answer. So that I could look at it. I mean, you can look at it forever. Now, is that a nice gift to give someone? a whole earth, moons, and then stars, and it just keeps going on and on. It's like a perpetual huge theater in the round. Who else do you think he built it for? Just because he was bored? I really believe that that's how much he loves us. He just gave us everything. And all he wants us to do is to see it instead of, oh, I got to worry about that. I haven't got enough money. What do you need money for if you have a whole universe? What, you know what I'm saying? And we are we're going to be part of him forever. So to me, there's no such thing as wasting time. How could you waste infinity? You know what I mean? It'd be like out in the Atlantic Ocean and you you pick up a little cup full of water and then just throw it away and somebody says, don't waste water. I look around. I don't think you could waste water out there. It's, you ain't going to run out. So in other words, everything is so well taken care of. It's all just so perfect that we should just sit back and watch the show instead of trying to run it. It's got a master author. I mean, this thing has been scripted. I mean, it's just amazing what's there. So when do I think the world ends? When I die. The world I live in dies. Nobody else lives in that. You live in a different world than I do. When you die, your world ends. And then begins the greatest show on earth. I really believe this, St. Francis. It's by dying that we awaken to life eternal. And so when you have this spiritual awakening, you are getting a glimpse. That's all Bill talks about, is we get a glimpse of this next dimension. We get a glimpse out there. And so I think it goes a long way in taking away our fear of death. Because we realize that this old person who got here with all those old ideas, we've finally extinguished them, up came this new. And so there's got to be something even bigger and better. It just makes our place in the universe so much more comfortable when we are correctly centered on our higher power. So what I'm trying to say is that event, the transformation and the maintaining of it is all that's ever necessary. There's no other part to the plan. Isn't that amazing? And you say, gee whiz, how could you have a plan where you just have one solution? What were you doing before you got here? What was your solution to everything? That's a pretty simple plan. I'm real worried. What could I do about being worried? Not worried now. Don't have enough money. What can I do with that? Who needs money? I'm doing fine. So, in spite of hating simplicity, don't try to complicate this. Don't try to dream up some problem and then contend that this little simple God solution can't make it go away. We really have hit the jackpot when you get in here. And all God wants us to do is to freaking enjoy it. If he was here, he'd probably say, you know, I worked for billions of years to get this whole thing ready. And you're out there going, I don't know if I can do this. Look, I just had a cloud go by. I'm doing everything for you. And you're going to be you. So let go and let God. Thank you all very much.
All right, you guys. I love you and thank you. Yeah, you're amazing. All right, all right. All right. Sorry we gotta go, but we'll be back.